So our text comes to us from the epistle reading we heard a few moments ago from Ephesians. These words, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last week I mentioned the horror of having our children, our very small children, say back to us word for word what we had said to them or what they had heard us say. And any parent has had that experience, and it is that experience a humbling one. For in a moment we hear just exactly coming out of our children's mouths how stupid, how nonsensical, how idiotic we can sound as parents. And our children, when they would say such things, repeating what they had heard coming out of our mouths, were not doing so out of spite or anger or frustration, but they simply were repeating what they had heard us say. You know, a friend of mine, when I told him this, that this was going on in our house, he didn't believe me. He didn't believe me at all. And then, well, eventually he got married and he had a child. And one day he calls me on the phone and he begins the conversation with the statement, "You were right, man. Children are the Rosetta Stone of life." Why the Rosetta Stone? Well, the Rosetta Stone was one of the most remarkable archaeological discoveries in history, being found in Egypt in 1799 by an officer in Napoleon's army, which was there doing some conquering at the time. What made the Rosetta Stone so remarkable was that it had a decree chiseled on it, a decree issued in 196 BC by King Ptolemy V. Now, the decree itself was of little or no importance. But what made the Rosetta Stone so pivotal for archaeology, for history, was that the decree was written on that stone three times. Once in Egyptian hieroglyphics, a second time in another ancient Egyptian language, and a third time in ancient Greek. And what that meant was that the Rosetta Stone held the key to translating Egyptian hieroglyphics, that exotic picture language that covered the walls of Egyptian tombs and buildings and monuments, since ancient Greek was so well known. That Rosetta Stone could be used to figure out what those Egyptian hieroglyphics actually said. So, my friend, in discovering that his child was the Rosetta Stone of life, that is, his child, in repeating what my friend said to him, allowed my friend to actually hear and understand how he sounded, how he talked, how he acted every single day. Now that's intimidating, as you no doubt know. But also intimidating is when our children copy us, when they imitate us, when we do the right thing. When we say the right thing, when we act in the right way, and that can be unnerving as well. For then we come to the realization that we truly are very important in our children's lives, that they are watching every one of our moves and learning actually how to live by imitating us. And then, of course, they don't. They stop. They stop imitating us. And they might even conscientiously try not to be like us at all in any way. And while that can be frustrating, there can be a little admiration there. Admiration for their independence, admiration for their initiative, admiration for their individuality. One of my daughters, for example, used to have a button on one of her purses that said, "I'm in my own little world, but that's okay. They like me there." I thought that was funny, and I still do. For all of us at one time or another in our lives growing up, find ourselves in our own little worlds, shutting ourselves off from all sorts of people and institutions and societies of one form or another around us, thinking thereby We can live in the freedom of complete and total self-determination. But eventually we do venture out of those little worlds of our own making and are then careful to choose, very careful to select who it is we're going to, for all intents and purposes, imitate. And we do that by reading certain books, listening to specific podcasts, listening to select music, or going only to this or that movie. But we must admit that by so doing, we are in fact seeking something to imitate, hoping to find something that will be for us a Rosetta Stone of sorts. That is something that will be for us the key to life. Now, the Holy Spirit in our text from Ephesians tells us simply that we are to be imitators of God. And not only are we to be imitators of God, we are to be imitators of God like beloved children. And here we can think of when Jesus told his disciples that unless we receive the kingdom of God as little children, we'll never enter it. And we can ask the question then, why we should imitate God specifically as little children and not as adults. Well, adults imitate others for all sorts of reasons, don't they? I mean, there are definite reasons adults imitate others, and many of those reasons are not that great. But with children, the young ones, I forget specifically the age, but they imitate their parents because that's what they should do. They just do it. They don't doubt that they should do it. They don't question whether or not they should do it. They don't wonder about a reward they will get for doing it. They just do it. That's what they do. Well, I can't imitate God in that way, you might counter. That would mean I would need to set aside all my fear and my doubt, my skepticism, my experience, my history, my desires, my pursuits. Oh, yeah. That's right. It's like a little child imitating their parent because, well, they are their parent. So the Holy Spirit sent to us to encourage us daily to sing to ourselves, even as adults, I'm Jesus' little lamb, ever glad at heart I am. For my Savior gently guides me, knows my needs, and well provides me, loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. It was when we were still imitators of our parents that we learned that song. Way before we sequestered ourselves in our own little kingdoms, the Holy Spirit would that we daily live that way, as imitators of God, pointing us to God who became man. Jesus Christ is our example of the one who as man, was the quintessential imitator of God. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But that sounds a little scary, doesn't it? For Jesus as man, imitating God, his Father, suffered and died in that imitation. Yes, but Jesus did that, so that we do not have to do so. We don't have to suffer and die for our sins have been atoned for through the fragrant offering offered by Jesus to the Father on the cross for us. Receiving the kingdom of heaven like little children, that is believing in Jesus as our Savior from sin and death, trusting in his guidance and provision and love, we know that our suffering and death are not because of our sin, but simply the ridding of our sin from us. That is the shedding of the old Adam, our sinful flesh, so that our eternal life can and will be without all of the baggage that both of those things bring along with them. Now, what that looks like now, of course, with the Spirit's guidance and love of our Lord and Savior in which we walk, is a return to our childhood. That is a return to the time when we were not even aware of sexuality or sexual immorality or impurity. A return to a time when we did not know what coveting was, or filthiness, or foolishness, or crude joking. Remember that? Do you remember your childhood? Remember? You know, as a child, I had a huge map of the United States hanging over my bed in my bedroom, and looking at that map day after day after day, I became convinced that Nebraska must be the most important state of all the states of the United States because it was right in the middle of that great big map. Remember your childhood? But seriously, what are the empty words of the world but those which would have us pursue immorality, impurity, covetousness as a rule? I mean, it's become so bad in some segments of society nowadays that people insist on being identified by their particular form of sexual immorality. So perhaps the reason we have a hard time being imitators of God as beloved children nowadays is because we've ceased to understand what childhood actually is. That it's a time of innocence and inquisitiveness and curiosity and imitation. Instead, the world seems dead set on imprinting on children as soon as possible immoralities that children cannot even grasp and from which adults should flee. And what else? Well, we're to walk as children of light. The Holy Spirit tells us, and that is in the fruit of the light, and all that is good, and all that is right, and all that is true. And here, nature in its goodness as the glory of God, it can be our guide. No, not some sort of Darwinian darkness of YouTube video shorts of one animal attacking and killing another in utter gruesomeness, but in the beauty of trees and plants and flowers and the graceful movement of those animals and sunrises and sunsets and stars and the moon and the sun, the incredible panoramas of nature can cause us to catch our breath, and that which used to be the inspiration for artists and musicians among us and mankind in general even to imitate. And mankind did that how? In drawings and paintings and architecture and in music. Yes, mankind imitated the glory of God. And to a certain extent, it still does. For we can think of those state fair buildings that are full of crafts and art and even science. Yes, the science, where all the rage nowadays is using AI and the computing power at our fingertips to get a robot to walk like a dog. Now, when you think about it, that's quite childlike, isn't it? I mean, we have plenty of dogs in the world. And yet, wouldn't it be great to make a machine that looked like a dog and walked like a dog? I mean, artists for centuries tried their hand at it, that is, at painting dogs, even as they had plenty of dogs in their day and age, and yet somehow there was a challenge to draw a picture of a dog. Like little children, they often do that, right? With circles and lines, pictures that end up on our refrigerators. Well, we not only should imitate what is good in nature, that is God's glory, his handiwork, like dogs, by making copies of them. But we also are to imitate God himself, just like children, to talk like God and to speak like God and to love like God. And we do this by continually listening to God speak to us through his holy word, learning like the disciples of Jesus who walked with Jesus for 3 years to become more and more and more like Jesus. Why? So they could talk like Jesus. They could speak his words. They could say exactly what he said. Why? Because they were beloved children of God. They were his imitators, even as Christians. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.